Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Then there's that moment where is it over? Oh man. Last night look. Every year the fireworks show is good. I'll just tell you that. Every year the fireworks show is good. Personal opinion, I think last night was the best one that's ever been since I've been here in Pensacola. It was genuinely fantastic. It was longer than I remember it being before. There were elements of it that you know, fireworks is the kind of thing that you enjoy and then you typically don't remember afterwards. You know, nothing stands out. There were things that they were doing with the fireworks show last night that I thought were sort of memorably interesting. There was this whole long series of orange cloud bursts that they did right around the time when they were introducing all of the different services, you know, the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, Marines, the Coast Guard. That was really neat because it was kind of a subdued thing, but it was a prolonged series of orange-only colors. It was very, very cool. And the finale was fantastic. You know, like, you almost thought it was over. There was a pause. There was a gap. And then they came back with, you know, the finale, which was fantastic. And then it just kind of kept going and kept going. So it was good. It was a little different last night because we're used to it being off of the barge, you know, out in the bay. And I think it was off of the port last night, based on how it looked. We were standing at 9th and Bayfront, which is where we typically go. And I think it was shut off, actually off of the port, based on what I was seeing. And, you know, so just different. Also, a little bit of a distance. You could hear it on my phone that it was a little subdued sounding, not quite as crisp as when you're closer. But, yeah, and it was packed. All my – Jake, when I go downtown for the fireworks, I start at 9. I usually get downtown at about – well, you know my arrival times for things.
Yes.
Okay. So let's just describe that as just-in-time arrival.
Mm-hmm. 11:59:59.
That's right. So if the fireworks start at 9 and you got to find a parking space and walk to them, what do you think is my normal arrival time downtown?
Man, you're probably giving yourself about 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I usually leave the house. I say I'm going to leave at like 8:20. I actually leave at like 8:35. I get there at 8:50 ish. I got to find parking and then get to the. Well, I left early yesterday. My wife is a much more, she's the arrive early, you know, kind of person, the diligent, organized kind of person. And so, you know, we left at 8:20. Get downtown at, you know, probably 8:30, 8:35. There's no parking. All my secret spaces were gone. And I mean, like, really, all the places that normally nobody parks in because they don't know you can park there, and then I park there, and everybody else parks there afterwards because, like, oh, you can park there. And they're all gone. So, but no, it was packed and very, very fun. So, good event last night. You know, very, very impressive fireworks show last night. 5:13. Oh, and I did something different also. I was running my audio, like, my audio recorder so I could have the sound so I could talk about this morning. I didn't video record. And I just watched it because I always have this theory. I don't think it was much of a theory at this point. When you are recording on your phone, you're not enjoying the thing. Not as much. You're focusing on the recording and you're not just watching it. Plus, you know, you tend to look at the screen and then, you know, the thing itself is different. I think the same thing about the Blue Angels. You almost can't resist recording passes and things, and you went, oh, I caught that, yeah. And the times when I force myself to not record it at all, you enjoy it more. It looks different to your eye. You know, it looks closer to your eye, a lot more vivid to your eye, just like how the moon looks better than your phone picks it up, that kind of stuff. So I always recommend to people, you know, I know you want to get the great video of the Blue Angels and get the photo and post it on my line. You will enjoy the show more if you don't use your camera. If you just watch it, just immerse yourself in it. And I definitely can say that was true last night for the fireworks show, in spite of what I can only describe as people. We have somehow managed to become dumb people magnets in the last couple of months. I can't explain it. We've just been, my wife and I have been around people who just do dumb, irritating things. And we've had several sort of like high friction moments in the last couple of months that I can't really explain. I don't think we're doing anything different in the way we're living, but I mean, like almost fight type moments. And it's not pleasant. It's, you know, I'm a very get along, peaceable kind of person. And it's been weird. And, you know, last night, you know, people being dumb. And I thought, wow, what? But then again, on the other hand, the kids are so much fun to listen to. The kids in the background yelling and screaming and, you know, oh, that one, you know, just, it's great. It's good to be around a live audience and watching them enjoy the show. So kudos to Cat Country putting all that stuff on. And, of course, our sister station, Cat Country, and to the Symphony, which was great, and to all the people who work behind the scenes to make it happen. So 516 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PATH to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PATH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PATH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South Pro.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Stop by their Pensacola showroom to see their products in action.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You've got mail.
Good morning, 519 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday after the 4th of July. I know a lot of you are still sleeping in, don't have to work today. Lucky you. We work every day except Christmas, so we're always here for you with live local radio. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom. We've got a lot of backups who are in today for various reasons. Jake, who you have not heard Jake before for a while because, of course, we got John Pickens, who has been in, all my J producers. Went from Jake to Jimmy to John, although we never did go to Jimmy John's. But Jake is sitting in this morning because John was working the fireworks show late last night, so there was no way he was going to work that and then come in. And then Steve, because David is out. So Steve Taylor, welcome back, of course. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's going on in the newsroom, Steve?
What a night last night. One thing that was very impressive, besides, of course, the official fireworks, was all the unofficial fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
As you drive on I-110 and just here, there, everywhere. It's like everybody had their own shows. It was just, everywhere you look, it was just fabulous last night. What a sight.
No, you're absolutely right. Every time we drive to the fireworks show, I'm always impressed by how many people have their neighborhood fireworks going off, many of which are not legal.
I know. It was right there. I was in the city of Pensacola. Yeah, going,
but it's great. I do like. I saw that meme on social media. You know, when your uncle shows up with the good illegal stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, a comment that President Biden made to Democratic governors during a meeting at the White House is making some headlines. Multiple reports say Biden plans to stop scheduling events after 8 p.m. to get more sleep. This comes as Biden is hoping to reassure more than 20 governors about his ability to win against former President Trump in the November election. Okay, well, it looks like multiple shark attacks have disrupted July 4th celebrations at South Padre Island in Texas. Local officials there say roughly in a two-hour period, four separate attacks were reported. One person was taken to a local hospital for a serious bite, and the belief is a single shark is responsible for all those incidents. And speaking of eating, a new champion is being crowned at the Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest on Coney Island. According to unofficial counts, Illinois native Patrick Bertoletti has won the mustard belt in the annual competition after chowing down 58 dogs and buns. The contest has received extra attention this year after 16-time champ Joey Jaws Chestnut bowed out over an endorsement deal with vegan brand Impossible Foods. Chestnut's record is 76 hot dogs. Meanwhile, Miki Sudo once again is the winner on the women's side, beating her own record after wolfing down 51 dogs. That's the 10th time that she's won the competition, and that's like a sports report almost. Imagine that, all those hot dogs.
No, it's fantastic. And Miki Sudo is married to another competitive eater, and it just, yeah, she's been doing fantastic on the women's side, which is itself kind of amazing. What was the number for her, 50-something, 51?
51 dogs.
That is unheard of on the women's side. That's fantastic.
I mean, I like hot dogs, but...
Of course, on the men's side... Joey Chestnut was in his own competition. The number I heard was that he got 57, but it was in 5 minutes. And I don't know if they were probably not Nathan's brand hot dogs, so it's hard to measure. They're not, you know, they're not same brand against same brand. But yeah, when he'll put down, you know, upper 60s or 70 or more, the other guy is going to always be the asterisk winner.
Right.
Because, you know, when you disqualify the champion who has been the champion for a decade
simply because he's
got sponsorship conflict.
Right.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't even watch the event yesterday because I thought I don't care. I'm not covering this. It's well, like they tried to get a certain candidate off the ballot, and so the election was illegitimate. You know, Nathan's hot dogs, you disqualified the winner, the champion, and you know, who cares? You know?
Right. I mean, actually, it's very similar.
It's very similar.
You're pointing that out. That's David, what's happening.
All right, Steve. I called you David. Sorry. Steve, okay. Thanks so much for the update. 523 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. This whole issue about the president is just fascinating. I think I'm gonna take a stab at. I think I've got a couple of sound clips that are related to this, but I was just not quite able to, you know, get them to my normal level of production the way I would. So let me see if I can find the one that I was looking for, where Biden had talked to a radio interview about this whole issue of staying in or not.
He just quit, you know. He's quit.
No, that's the Trump part. Okay.
And former.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to get it.
Don't two worry. Sources also say the president told the governors he saw a doctor after the debate and that he was fine. In a new radio interview, President Biden said this about his debate performance.
I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, it was, I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
But what was the mistake?
Not getting enough sleep, having a cold.
Yeah, we
traveling
have like
time zones in 2 weeks prior.
Right, the rotating wheel of excuses that they keep trying to float about this. That, I mean, seriously, it was first it was a cold, right? Mm-hmm. And that was he over the cold the next day when he did the rally? You know, well then they said that it was, you know, well he was overprepared. Well, I know that's a funny one, but. Be honest, have you ever had this experience where you prepare too much for a thing and then you're really so consumed with making sure you get all of the details right that you actually do worse at the thing because you overprepared?
Oh, my first 2 weeks on Pep Talk. I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is a real thing. I remember when I did door-to-door sales for like a summer with the Southwestern Company in just after college, and I actually did really, really well. I hated it. It was the worst job I ever had. Very useful job for producing in me a bunch of skills that I didn't have before. Anyway, but it was – I remember very specifically. They're big on these, you know, educational materials and tapes to kind of train you on how to – answer objections and all of this stuff. And I'm the kind of person that I'm an information hog, right? Like, I want to know it all. And I remember I sat down with my sales manager one time and he said, so, you know, I noticed that your sales are good. I mean, great, but, you know, they kind of have plateaued. You know, they have been going up and they plateaued. And he said, you know, tell me kind of what your routine is, what you're doing. And I told him, he's like, well, you know what I think maybe you ought to do is just not focus at all on learning objections and responses and all of that kind of stuff. Just do the very basic stuff. You know how to do that well, just do that. And I did that, and he was right. Because I was, like, trying to do too much. I notice this sometimes. It's, you know, I'm kind of in an extended soliloquy on why the president might plausibly be justified in saying you're overprepared. But, Monday mornings a lot of times, I come into the show with the whole weekend's worth of news. And I want to cover it all, and I get frustrated because there's so much stuff to talk about, and I only have 4 hours. You might think that's a lot. I don't think that it is. I'm not trying to do more. I'm just saying, you know, fitting all the stuff in. And this happens on the show sometimes when there's so much going on that I want to do it all, and you wind up doing it mostly and kind of not as good, poorly. So I actually think there's a truth in that being overprepared can be a problem, especially if you're an aging, somewhat senile, somewhat dementia president who comes and goes in terms of clarity. And you feel like I've really got to show well here. And so the way I'm going to show well is have my brain full of all the things. I actually think that's why. Remember the part where he went from abortion to talking about illegal immigrants raping and killing a girl? I think that's what happened. I think in his brain, he's like, man, I got to touch all these things. And then he like somehow, which is still, it was useful for us to see, you know, very useful for us to see. But I think that's part of it. Now, the White House has kept running these trial balloons of, like I said, the you know, the jet lag was an issue from a trip he took a week ago, or the, you know, it was at, they haven't really said this one officially, but the, you know, he's great from 10 to 4. You know, he's, the president can put in a solid 6 every day, and this was at 9 o'clock at night all the way to 11. I mean, my God, who can expect a man of his age to, well, how about we'd like a 24-hour-a-day president? You know, I mean, he doesn't have to be awake 24 hours a day, but he does have to be able to be making decisions 24 hours a day. So, you know, they keep running, like you said, this kind of wheel of excuses for whatever the debate incompetence. So I want to know when he says...
I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, it was... I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Even in this answer, he kind of mumble-jumbles his words, but he's, right. I screwed up. In what way? By agreeing to the debate? Yep, you're right. You know, what was the screw-up? I don't know. So,
3.5 years?
Yeah, it's a weird way to say it.
Yeah, was he three and a half years,
yeah. Typically. But yeah.
He's overprepared.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in this office for 3.68 years, and I've had a... Sir. Oh, man. But the other thing that's just, we're in weird territory here, is he's doing this interview today with George Stephanopoulos that they're going to tape for this week, which is a Sunday show, and they're going to air it on Sunday. And the kind of the bustle around this interview is, well, are they going to release the raw? Are they going to release the unedited version? Because they never air the full version on the Sunday show. And you always wonder how much has been edited. Well, I'll give you my theory about this. I think that if he's crystal, they'll release it. I think that if he's not crystal, I'm not sure whether they'll release it. But if they don't release it, it'll be a cover-up. I mean, it'll, because this is the biggest news story of the summer, the president's non-performance in the debate. And you have another opportunity to see him during the day when he's supposed to be better, but you have another opportunity to see him without the filter. And if they're choosing not to show that, whatever it shows, that's a huge news story. They're actually covering up the story, which will not be the content of his answers in an edited format, but how he performs without the editing. Like, how did he perform with the Her interview, the 5 hours that we're never going to get to hear because they only released the transcript? You start to understand why now. You know, they don't want to release the actual audio because it sounded like the debate. You got to figure. I mean, if it didn't sound like the debate, why wouldn't they release it? It's easy to put out, right? We all knew it was politics about why we wanted it released, but the politics is around the fact that he probably sounded terrible, and at the time we were objecting to them not releasing the full Her audio, we didn't know how bad it could be because we hadn't yet seen the debate. And yet here is ABC, a theoretically news organization, sitting on the possibility of a blockbuster incident. Whether they'll show it or not, well, remains to be seen.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is conceding defeat after the Labour Party wins the UK general election by a landslide over the Conservative Party.
The British people have delivered a sobering verdict tonight. There is much to learn and reflect on, and I take responsibility for the loss.
Labour's Keir Starmer is now preparing to take Sunak's seat.
People here and around the country have spoken, and they're ready for change, to end the politics of performance, a return to politics as public service.
A drunk driver allegedly mowed down 9 people, killing 3 who were celebrating the 4th of July in New York City yesterday.
It appears as though at this time, based on preliminary investigation, the driver was under the influence.
Mayor Eric Adams, the NYPD is investigating. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31, 80 degrees and clear right now. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio Pensacola. 3 Crestview men were arrested on Wednesday after drugs were found while deputies were executing a search warrant on a home. That's according to the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. An Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office news release says their multi-agency drug task force executed the narcotic search warrant on Sabre Drive, and while executing the search warrant, they found a trafficking amount of fentanyl, crack cocaine, marijuana, and other materials to aid in the distribution of a controlled substance. That's according to the sheriff's office. Well, there seems to be another data breach in our region, this one affecting the Alabama public school system. The Alabama Department of Education says back on June 17th, their IT teams noticed something funky going on and were able to interrupt a hack attempt. Unfortunately, some data was breached before they could shut it down.
You know, like others that have been hit, other public schools have been hit, agencies, hospitals, businesses, and this has become, it unfortunately, almost commonplace across our country.
That's Superintendent Eric Mackey. Here locally, there have been confirmed cyber attacks affecting the city of Pensacola, Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital, and the Santa Rosa County Clerk of Courts Office. A century man has been arrested for an armed disturbance following a funeral. NorthEscambia.com reports that 56-year-old Daryl Lamar Brown is charged with misdemeanor battery and felony aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Brown allegedly slapped his adult child in the face with a hunting knife and threatened to stab him at a funeral gathering. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says Brown then told everybody to get off the property before he will cut all of them. The siblings left the property and waited down the road for law enforcement. That's according to the deputies. Neither suffered visible injuries and declined EMS. Brown remained in the Escambia County Jail this morning with a bond set about $5,000. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a small chance of rain this afternoon, 30% chance overall. Temperatures warming up quickly this afternoon with a high near 93, temperatures feeling like the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For our Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 94. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, it is warm, 81 degrees in Pensacola. It's 80 in Gulf Breeze and 80 in Milton at 534. The next news is at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The U.S. trade deficit widened in May to the largest since 2022 as a decline in exports of merchandise exceeded a drop in imports. The gap in goods and services trade grew 0.8% from the prior month to $75.1 billion, the widest since October of 2022, and that is according to Commerce Department data. The value of goods and services exports decreased 0.7%, while imports also fell. With signs building that the labor market is at least slowing, if not something worse, the June non-farm payrolls report takes on added significance. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones expect the report, which drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time today, to show growth of 200,000, which is down from the 272,000 reported for May. The jobless level in May did nudge higher to 4%. The forecast for the unemployment rate is expected to remain unchanged. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Terry, classic Terry. Now, Jake, the way you're reacting to this, I had the same question yesterday for John Pickens. You're reacting like you do not, this is not familiar to you.
I have not heard this yet. What is this?
The Terry video. I'll find it for you. I'll play it for you in a break. I'll show it to you. It is the single most hilarious thing you'll ever see for the 4th of July. It's Terry is a guy in a motorized wheelchair lighting off fireworks in the street with this like nephew of his or something, and then the guy videoing. And let's just say that Terry does not back up quickly. Terry gets caught in the upfire, so to speak. I started off by asking Mike Wood yesterday if something like that could happen in the city of Pensacola.
Yeah, it can. You know, every year I look at that video, and it's almost as traditional at the 4th of July as the WKRP video or show is at Thanksgiving.
It's the turkey drop. Yeah, it's the Mobile Leprechaun. It's Terry and the fireworks. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we want everybody to go out and have a great time tonight and just be careful. You know, we've got a great free show downtown tonight that is bigger than it's ever been before. So and it's free. We encourage everybody to go down there and do that because it's free, it's safe, and everybody gets to keep their fingers, and that's a pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. And, you know, people always, like, if you drive down I-110 toward the fireworks tonight at 8:30 or 8:15, if you're coming late like we always do, you see fireworks going off all over the city. And I know, you know, as law enforcement, it's always this balancing of interests, right? Because you have a lot of cops deployed downtown when you have a big crowd and you got an event. And yet it does remain illegal in the city of Pensacola, despite it being legal in the county, in both counties. It's legal in both counties to shoot off fireworks. It's just not in the city of Pensacola. So things that zoom and boom that's a violation of the law. And you don't want to find yourself getting arrested on the 4th of July for being dumb, right?
No, and, you know, we don't want to arrest anybody for that. It is a law that's on the books. When we arrive, some people, it's confusing because of the state law. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to warn them and let them know that they're in violation. Hopefully we won't have to make a return trip. But if we do have to take it up to the next level. So historically, it hasn't been a huge issue. Now, what it is we get calls for the noise, and we get a lot of those. And we do answer each and every one of those calls. The issue is that those calls are on lower priorities. We have to obviously answer emergency calls first, high priority calls first, and then we will get around to those calls. And a lot of times by the time we get there, the fireworks have been used up and there's nothing for the officer to see or investigate.
How many calls this week and then tonight in particular do you guys get, does 911 get of a, I think I heard a gunshot, but I'm not sure if it's a firework or not?
Yeah, we're going to get a lot of those. And so, you know, we have ShotSpotter that's going to help us out, and ShotSpotter can determine. Most of the time, there are some false cases, but sometimes it will determine whether it's a gunfire or not. But we're going to get those calls where people think it's shots fired. We get over there and determine that it's fireworks. So that's something that we get every year. But our calls for fireworks complaints can sometimes get backed up an hour, 2 hours, because obviously, we have to answer the emergency calls first. And people are going to be off today. They're going to be partying all day long.
Yeah.
And sometimes into the evening, they start getting upset with each other. Disturbances break out. And we obviously have to answer those calls first.
Right, for sure. And ShotSpotter, as I recall, does distinguish between fireworks and gunfire. I'm assuming it's not a 100% accuracy, but it's fairly good at distinguishing them, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So that, the sound goes off at a central location. It's listened to by a person who is trained in the difference between fireworks and gunshots. But sometimes we still do get one that comes in as a gunshot. It turns out to be fireworks. So hopefully we won't have too many of those false positives, if you would, tonight.
Anything else as far as safety or going to the fireworks downtown? Oh, I know one question I have been asked. Can people walk on the new bridge and stand on the pedestrian side westward towards the bay and watch the fireworks from the pedestrian walkway?
Yes, they can on the pedestrian walkway. We just ask the traffic not stop on the bridge and watch the fireworks show. We need to keep that moving. And believe it or not, in the past, we've had issues with people just stopping to take a couple of pictures or some video on the bridge, and you can't do that.
Yeah, that's not good. But I, you know, people don't think about these things. And I was kind of looking at the map, and it's about the same distance from there as from Bayfront. So I'm not sure that you gain much by being on the bridge in terms of visibility, but I'm sure people are going to, you know, want to do that. And, you know, there are benches there if you can get one early, I suppose it'll be available for you. Talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, had a couple of really unpleasant things happen in the last week. One was you had a pedestrian fatality at Pace and Gadsden on Saturday, right?
Yeah, the individual walked out into traffic and was struck and killed. And that's, you know, that's something we've talked about so many times about using crosswalks, especially at night. But when they don't use crosswalks and possibly in dark clothing, and the driver is just not prepared or not planning on seeing a pedestrian walk out in front of them, and then you have problems such as this. So, yeah, we hated to see it, and we're going to try to just keep telling people to use those crosswalks.
I have never lived in a place where I felt so when I'm driving, felt so concerned that I would inadvertently kill somebody because of people walking near or into traffic. And you know, I've just never lived in a place where it was such, and it is such a thing here. And, you know, I don't know if it's the South or if it's Florida or whatever, but, and as you say, particularly at night, people wear dark clothing, they don't wear anything reflective, and it's super weird and super scary to, you know, just to drive around sometimes at night because of that. We also had a very, very unpleasant thing happen. You guys had a traffic stop on Cervantes, yesterday, maybe the day before, I don't know, that where you had a the suspect shot himself after getting pulled over. Is that right?
Yeah, the officer was attempting to stop a pickup truck for all it was, Andrew, was an expired tag. And the officer was getting ready or approaching the vehicle, and the individual took a handgun and pointed it at himself, at his head, and fired a shot. And the officer saw this. It's a traumatic, it's a bad situation all the way around. We don't know what was going on in that individual's life. I can tell you that he was not wanted for a crime. But, you know, and this is something horrible for the officer to have to look at, too. We don't know. I mean, we don't know exactly what caused this individual to do what he did.
Well, and, you know, obviously for that officer, it's horrendous to see. It raises other questions like, well, you know, they didn't draw the gun on the officer, but, you know, somebody's using a gun in the car when you get, I mean, just all of it is just, and we don't really know anything, I'm assuming, about why, or, I mean, the person died instantly or they were transported. Can you at least, do we know that much?
Well, the officers on scene decided they did not have time to wait on EMS. They put him in one of our vehicles and transport him to Baptist Hospital themselves as quickly as they could. Sometimes you just don't, seconds matter, and that's the decision that they made to do. So, it's one of those situations where it's just horrible all the way around. And we wish things like that didn't happen, but we never know what's going on in someone's life. And we're certainly glad that the individual didn't point the gun at the officer and cause further problems.
Right, absolutely. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. You said something a moment ago I just wanted to follow up on. The officer did not wait for EMS to get to the scene because seconds matter. We're talking about a gunshot injury to the head in this horrible incident on Cervantes. Somebody has asked me the question whether this was not related to a hold at EMS or a wait. This is just, you just act immediately because that's really all there is to do in the situation, right?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a hold or not. I know that they usually will ask EMS what their ETA is, their estimated time of arrival.
Yeah.
And the decision was made that we cannot wait on this particular situation.
Okay. So we don't really know, but in any case, in, you know, exigent circumstances, this is not that uncommon.
No, it's not. We've done this before on extreme emergencies. A couple of things. We have to think quickly on things like that. So. Yeah. We have to determine whether, you know, are we making things worse by transporting, or are we going to possibly save a life by transporting? So these are decisions that are made on each individual case and have to be made quickly.
You know, I don't know the answer to this. What kind of medical life-saving training do our beat cops get?
We've got basic first aid and CPR.
Okay.
So we do it the best we can with what we have. Everybody has a first aid kit in their vehicle. And the main thing on these situations is to hopefully stop the bleeding. We all have tourniquets on our duty belts. They're trained in the use of the tourniquet. So if they can just stop the bleeding, that's priority number one.
Is there any more enhanced training that is available to police officers who want to get it? I mean, I assume the answer is yes, but I just don't know. That's why I'm kind of asking.
Well, we've got the training that we're supposed to have,
right,
that we're required to have. Now, if an officer wants to go and get more training on their own, they're certainly able to do that.
Right. Okay. Very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer for PPD. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. What do you got for me today, Mike?
Yeah, this is a myth that evidence can't be used in your case if the police did not have a search warrant. The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution does protect Americans from unreasonable searches and seizures. It states that a member of law enforcement must first go in front of a judge and explain why they have probable cause for a search warrant. But there are exceptions to these warrant requirements, and those include plain and open view law, stop and frisk, and automobile searches, incident to arrest, and other emergency circumstances. So That's not necessarily true. That's a myth. It just depends on each individual case on whether we needed a warrant at that point or not.
Or if you give consent, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, consent's totally different. But a lot of people, usually the problems come with searches of vehicles incident to arrest.
Right.
And the officers are able to do that, to search the area where the driver or the passenger was sitting. If it needs to go further than that, then we can wait and get a search warrant and then search the rest of that vehicle.
Yeah, and all of those exceptions that you mentioned are important ones. Plain view, you know, if they pull you over and you've got the bag of cocaine sitting in the back seat, you know, that's, you know, they don't need a search warrant for that. Or if you consent, or if it's an emergency, like a chase, if you're chasing somebody into a structure and they, you know, you have to follow them because they're in the commission. I mean, all of which you and I have talked about many times, but that's interesting. That's like so mistaken about the law that it almost surprises me, but I suppose I should never be surprised at what people don't understand about the law these days. I suppose that shouldn't surprise. I do have one last question for you, Mike. This is a very important cop related question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Will the winner of the Nathan's annual hot dog eating contest today be the actual champion since Joey Chestnut was disqualified?
You know, that's tough. I've got to go with no. Joey is going to be hard to beat. He's with, obviously, under another label now or another company instead of Nathan. So I'm still a Joey Chestnut fan. I know my son is. He's tried to do this himself. And it's not easy.
No, it is definitely not easy. And now that we have the official declarative dispositive truth of the matter from Mike Wood, we know what we all believe as well. Mike, thanks as always for the time and for the perspective and the information and for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that, and thank you for not asking me about presidential politics.
No, sir. Even though I can have fun with a silly question, but I'm never going to ask you things that are outside of your purview. Absolutely. 5:50 on News Radio Pensacola. Of course, last night was the 4th of July. We recorded this interview yesterday, but I thought a lot of it was very interesting, even though, you know, the fireworks have already passed. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to get some good advice, and, you know, I know a lot of times you think, well, I'll just do it myself. Okay. First of all, one of the reasons that you want to use somebody like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty is because they will get the job done quickly, done for the best price you can possibly get. In fact, you know, they sold 175 homes last year, which is pretty amazing. And they have a whole system of how they stage it, how they photograph it, how they present it. They actually have a photographer who is the best at doing this that they use for their photos. And you might think, well, how much does that matter? Little things can make a big difference in the sale price for a home, because how people expect it to be and then how people see it to be. And when they see these great photos, they want to, you know, more people come means more people think other people are interested in the house. That means you get a higher bidding price. Like, all of this stuff matters. They have this whole thing down to a system, which is why they have been so successful over the last about 7 years that she's really been doing this. It's kind of amazing, really, what they can do for you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Marcus Point Baptist Church is excited to present the 2024 Sportsman's Night Out. Join us as we hear from Rick Burgess of the Rick and Bubba Show and Hall of Fame fishing legend Hank Parker. It all happens at the Pensacola Bay Center on August 8th at 6:30 p.m. You could win amazing prizes like a new camper from Carpenter's Campers, a Kubota side-by-side from Coastal Machinery Company, and even more from sponsors like Builders First Source and Florida Air Conditioning and Heating. Tickets are only $10 and on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Get yours before they're gone.
Say thousands at the 4th of July Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds this Thursday through Sunday. See the largest selection of major brand hot tubs and Michael Phelps signature swim spas up to 50% off. Free Yeti cooler to the first 5 hot tubs and a free outdoor pizza oven to the first 5 swim spas sold daily. Financing available with payments as low as $79 at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds this Thursday through Sunday. Visit FloridaHotTubExpo.com.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. 3 Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Right now with Joe and Austin, 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
Good morning, 5:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you've got a need for a heating, air conditioning, plumbing, or electrical service, Peden, they will take care of you. They've been in Pensacola for 55 years. Like, just think about that. 55 years in Pensacola is pretty impressive. But they have been expanding a lot in the last several years. They've expanded east all the way to Tallahassee. So everywhere between here and Tallahassee, you can use Peden. And west, they have gotten into Baldwin County last year and now into Mobile County this year. So they are everywhere all along the Gulf Coast. And this year with their 55th anniversary, they have a special that's no service fee with air conditioning repairs and $55 off those repairs. Plus, if you get a whole system replacement, $555 off the whole system replacement for your AC. You know, I hope you don't have to, but if you do, that's a pretty nice penny to take off of the price tag for it. Call them professional service. They stand by at 100% satisfaction guarantee with Peden, PEADEN.com. We've got David Wayne is out today, so we got a couple of other people helping out. We got Jake is sitting in, which we haven't had him for a while, which is great to have you back on the show, even for a minute, Jake.
Yeah, it's so great to be here.
And Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, good morning. The CDC is confirming a fourth human case of bird flu. It was a dairy worker in Colorado who developed eye symptoms and has since recovered. The CDC is emphasizing that while the risk to the public remains low, it's been working to increase the national stockpile of bird flu vaccine since May. Well, gun rights groups are suing California over its firearms tax. The Firearms Policy Coalition of San Diego lodged the Second Amendment challenge. Other plaintiffs include the National Rifle Association, the California Rifle and Pistol Association, and the Second Amendment Foundation. That new tax went into effect on Monday and imposes an 11% excise tax on the sale of firearms, parts, and ammunition. And a moving truck packed with furniture pulled up to Skid Row in L.A., and all the contents had been unloaded. It's not known if somebody was dumping unwanted furniture or if they were trying to help the homeless. Well, cell phone video of the event surfaced on Wednesday showing refrigerators, barbecue grills, tables, couches, even a ping pong table carried away from the truck. City officials say this is illegal and it's not helping the homeless. And now city workers are going to have to come collect the leftover items. And that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. 5:57 here on News Radio Pensacola. I think I speak for the entire country. I may be a bit presumptive, but I think I speak for the entire country when I say the bird flu story or the there was another virus running around recently that kind of tried to make a news out of. We don't care about any kind of virus stories for another decade at least. Call me when a million people have died. Like that's kind of the I don't care until it's huge. Four people getting the bird flu. I'm not saying this to you, Steve, like it's not a news story. I'm saying the collective reaction is, nope, we're just not doing another disease. And I'm not saying that's a healthy reaction. I'm not saying that you should not know about actual other, you know, healthcare vector threats. But there's, I think most people are like, not doing this. Nope. Call me when 10,000 people have, you know, died from it. And until then, do not care when it's not having this. 5:58 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. This is kind of a maybe one of my weird favorite stories from the last week or so, which is that in the world of woke activity, did not make it to transgressors, by the way, but maybe in a future episode, you had an infight between groups that are each thinking of themselves as the natural occupants of the truly woke category. You had a gay pride parade, because it was Pride Month last month, a gay pride parade going on that wound up being protested by anti-Israeli protesters. So the anti-Israel, pro, you know, Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthi, I guess, although they don't typically come out in favor, but the pro-H terrorist kids came out to protest at a pride parade to disrupt the pride parade to get attention for themselves. And so you literally had factions of the left fighting with each other for attention during Pride Month. And, you know, look, folks, this is just not good strategy. It makes us look bad for everybody. Figure out which one you're going to be. But it's really kind of sad when the conservatives and the acronym folks are all in agreement that, man, those folks are really crazy.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.